there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
But for this morning, we're going to do Philippians chapter 2. And when I read this, I was like, it's really basic. Like, you read chapter 2 and you go, okay, what's new? And as I was reading, I was saying, God, give me something new for church this morning. Please give me something new. And he just went, no, go and preach. Go and preach what it's telling you. And it's not new, and it's not necessarily flashy, and it's not necessarily fancy, but I do believe that it is a word for us as the church this morning. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we're literally going to read about four verses, but to start with, we're just going to read the first verse in chapter 2. Here's what it says. If you've got a Bible, turn to it. Philippians 2, verse 1, comes after Ephesians. It's going to come up on the screen behind me. Everyone's distracted by cute kids coming back and forth, aren't they? We together. Here we go, Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, let me just clarify. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippians. And when he says this, if you have any encouragement, he's not asking a question. He's telling you, you should be encouraged. Okay? You should be encouraged by having a relationship and being united with Christ. Here's what he goes on to say. If any comfort from his love, as in you should be comforted by his love. If any common sharing in the Spirit, you should be sharing with the Spirit regularly through being united with Christ. If any tenderness and compassion, you should be tender and compassionate towards people, towards yourself, towards your world. You should be. There's no question mark in the ifs, it's statements. That verse finishes there. So, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, or if any tenderness and compassion. Here's what I think Paul is telling us in that first verse. If you're not experiencing these things, you're not united with Christ. And if you're not united with Christ, then you're missing out. And you're missing out big time. So let me ask you this morning, do you / have you found encouragement with being united with Christ? When you started this relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, did you find something change in your world? I would argue that every single one of us should be saying, absolutely. And it might not be that your world like massively changed and every person in your world became the best person that you could ever imagine. It doesn't mean that you've all of a sudden become perfect. Can I get an amen? Good, not just me. It doesn't mean that when that person cuts you up, all of a sudden, you, instead of like, say, bless you, brother. And if any of you do that, then the Lord is clearly working through you much better than he does through me. When the white van man that is like Pastor Mike drives into your car. So let me ask you, do you or have you found encouragement in being united with Christ? Yeah. Good. Do you, have you found comfort in his love?
Yeah.
Cool, I don't need to explain it. Maybe I do. How many of you have ever faced a situation and gone, oh, that's really hard? How many of you have ever found yourself in that situation and gone, I really don't know how to get through this? How many of you find this constantly? Yes. But what you've all just told me is that you know where to turn to in that moment. And it's to turn back to him and go, ah, thank you, Jesus, that I'm united with you to find my way through this, to find comfort. Do you, have you experienced common sharing with the Spirit? That's so biblical, isn't it? Like, let's break that down a little bit. So we're told that when we come into relationship with Jesus, we then have access to the Holy Spirit, who is today Christ on earth, God on earth. God in us, God with us every day. How many of you daily say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're with me. Help me today. Not as much as I should. Maybe I should be doing it, or I should be doing it far more when that person cuts me up. The Holy Spirit would be the one that says, bless you. go freely, happily. Cut somebody else up, why don't you? Please, do it to me. No. How many of you find yourselves in situations where the human response is one of frustration or anger or sometimes regret, disdain, uncertainty? And yet, when you're in common sharing with the Spirit, instead of feeling angry, you feel joy. Instead of disdain, you feel hope. And when you're in common sharing with the Spirit, all of those things can be yours. How many of you feel that? Maybe not every day, because that's difficult, but more often than not, even in those tough moments. Then the last one, have you experienced tenderness and compassion? And let me make two points, from him and through with him. So how many of you felt tenderness and compassion from the Lord? It's very Christian. How many of you feel loved by God and know that there is something that goes beyond everything that you could do, that he still loves you as his child, as his friend? And it doesn't matter what you do, you could feel like you're pulling yourself away, but God still loves you. How many of you have experienced that and experienced that regularly? Thank you, Jesus, for that. But then the next thing, and this is far harder, and I probably can't put my hand up to this often enough. How many of you feel tenderness and compassion to those around you? Through him. Great. How many of you go, that's really hard? The truth is, the lovely, compassionate, tender part of me isn't me. The tenderness and compassion that comes through me can only be from Jesus, because I've got to be honest, everything in me thinks people. Like when I've had a really rough week, I don't want to go and spend time with people. I don't want to be in church with all of you lovely people. When you come and speak to me and I'm like, oh, it's great to see you. How's your week been? That's Jesus. Because my tendency is to pull away. My tendency is like, ah, oh, it's been so rubbish. Please just go away. I just need some space. And it's not just you, I promise you. It's the same with Emily and with our kids. When I've had a hard day and Emily comes to me and says, hey, tell me about your day. I'm like, no. There's got to be people in here that agree with me. You feel the same way. Like when you get into bed and she goes, oh, hey, how's everything going? Tell me about your day. And I'm like, no, thanks. Oh, but it must have been all right. Yeah. There must be more to it than that. No, not really. Truth is, there is. I just need space. Just leave me alone for a bit. But through Jesus and with Jesus, as I become united with him, there is tenderness and compassion that comes through me. There is. And I have to remind myself of that. And if I'm not doing a good enough job, come and tell me, and I'll ask Jesus to give me more. And if I'm doing a good job, come and tell me, and I'll thank Jesus that he's working through me. But I wonder, for you, do you experience that tenderness and compassion that he brings? And do you then reflect that to others around you? Are you good at doing that? If so, great. Are you not so good at doing that? If so, ask Jesus, come and do something in me. Come and do something in me. Because when we're united with Christ, all of these things should happen through us. So, consider how you feel as you stand united with Christ. I want to pose some thoughts to you and then see whether or not you agree with this. Do you feel bold? And that's bold with an O, not with an A. Do you feel bold that you can go and do things that in your natural self you just couldn't? I do. Do you find yourself feeling empowered to go and do the things that have always been in your heart, but you've never really seen a way to do it? Because I do. There are things that I dream about. And if I were to just think about it naturally, there's no way. But with him, I know that there is a way. I become empowered through him. When you're united with Christ, are you joyful? And I'm not talking about the joy that necessarily shows on your face. Because far too many of us, the answer would be no. I'm talking about that deep joy, that even in tough times, you can still say like, nah, I've got this. And I will praise through it. And I'll sing through it. And I'll dance through it. Even that awkward look. Here's what I believe, that when you're united with Christ, you are empowered to do all things that he's called you to do. And across this room, I've got this thing that I keep on coming back to, that if you're still breathing, he can still use you. And it doesn't matter if you're 185. There's nobody here that's going to be 185, so I'm safe. Even Mike's not that old. If you're 185 and you're still breathing, God can still use you. He can still use your story. He can still empower you to do something. So please, please, please don't write yourself off. Stand united with Christ and see what he can do through you. It's really incredible. And here's what's incredible. Without unity with Christ, I wouldn't be here. I've written this down. Not necessarily the upfront thing, because I've got something in me, a bit of a performer. Like I like being up front. I like not necessarily the attention, but I like having a bit of control, a bit of power. People that I lead are giggling away because they're like, yeah, tell us about it. So I'm not talking that I wouldn't necessarily be in the position where I speak to people, or I wouldn't be leading people. I mean, I wouldn't be doing it in a way that is from a place of love and compassion. I'd be doing it from a place that says, hey, give me the attention, give me the plaudits, give me the just deserves, because I'm so good. I'm not. The reason I'm here is because I believe Jesus has given me a calling and I'm going to follow it. And he's using a voice of a person that's got a big mouth and said, go and use this for good. And so that's what I'm going to do. And so I wonder this morning, what is it that God wants to do through you as you stand united with him? Is it that you can stand at the front of a church and speak out his gospel, speak out a message from him? Hey, there's opportunities to do that. Come and talk to us. Is it that you can sing? Then come and see Liam, because boy, oh boy, do we love singers and musicians. Musicians, shout out. Is it that you can just love on people? Like, it doesn't matter the circumstances that they're coming from, what they do, where they've been, that you just see them and you love them anyway. Like, there is a calling for you when you stand united with Jesus for that. True. No matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, if you stand united with Jesus, he can use you. Yeah. But then Philippians goes on. So it's amazing when we as individuals stand with Jesus, what he can do, right? He can do all of these things that we've spoken about. We can find comfort in his love. We can find common sharing with the Spirit, and we can experience tenderness and compassion from him. That's amazing. But then Philippians goes on to say this in verse 2-4. Then, so as a result of all of this, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, and here's what's key for us as church, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. You see, it's amazing to stand united with Christ, and there is incredible things that he can and will do through you, through me, through us as individuals when we stand united with him. But how much more when one becomes two, two becomes three, three becomes six, nine, 15, 25. We're a church when everyone's here of 72. Imagine what a church of 72 people united together and united with Christ could do. Here's what I believe the word from God is for us this morning from Philippians 2. If we stand united as one church, as one people, and we stand united with Christ, we can change the world. And that sounds really scary, doesn't it?
But I believe that as we stand as one, as we stand united, God can use us to impact our world. He can use us to impact our community. That's already happening, but he can use us more. If we stand united as individuals, together as a church, then we will change this place. But then it goes beyond that, and it becomes as churches stand united together. Hey, we're part of a network. We're part of an amazing network called One Church, where there are four locations across the southwest of the UK. And we're doing a good thing as a network, because we stand united, not just united as churches, but united with Christ. Then as One Church, we're part of a wider network called the AOG, the Assemblies of God. As we stand united as churches in that, we're making a difference in the UK, and that's exciting. And then that's getting bigger and bigger and wider, and the UK becomes Europe, and we're making a difference across Europe. And who knows that the church is the biggest growing organization, according to statistics, across the world. And yet the media will tell us the church is dying. What a load of codswallop. Hey, it's exciting to be a part of something that's growing that big. And why is it growing that big? Not because of individuals that are making a difference, but because of individuals uniting with Christ, who then unite together with other like-minded individuals united with Christ. And this morning, I feel like that's what God's asking of us. And I'll be honest with you, my dream is bigger than Cadbury Heath. Sorry if that's uncomfortable. My dream's bigger than the UK. But it's okay for you to dream about your family first, because my dream is for my family. And it's okay for you then to dream about your workplace. It's okay for you to dream about your street, your neighborhood, your local area, your city. But the difference comes when we stand united together with Christ. And I believe that in the simplicity of what Philippians 2 teaches and what Paul writes through Philippians 2 is this, that in simplicity, worlds change. Because it's as simple as you uniting with Christ and uniting with another. And so this morning, I wonder, who is it that you're uniting with? In fact, I want to make this request. United, we stand. As One Church Bristol, as the individuals that make it up, as the ragtag bunch of people. Let's be honest, look around the room. Who would have put this bunch of people together? Who would have taken a 30-something bald man from Gloucester and chucked him in a room with a bunch of people from a place called Cadbury Heath? There's only one person that's going to be crazy enough to do that. And it's my joy that we get to serve him. It's my joy that we get to stand here on a Sunday and bring him that worth and the worship that he deserves. And it's my joy that in that, as we stand united, we can do things like we did a couple of weeks ago out on that field just over the road. For those of you that missed it, we had over 350 people come to our community day. That's amazing, isn't it? That is incredible. And credit has to go to the team that put it on. Esther led a team fantastically in that. But there's more that can be done. And when we stand united, when we come together, when we pull together, when we pull forces together, and then when we stand united with Christ in that, there is more that can be done. And so let's get a little bit bold. Let's get a bit daring. And next year, go for 3,000. But seriously, what is it that you're dreaming for? What's the limit? And then why is that the limit? You limiting God? Ooh. Are you limiting yourself? Because often that's the issue. But when we stand united with Christ, there's no limit. Because he's above all things. And he can do all things. I'm going to wrap up. And I realize that as I've spoken, my voice hasn't really helped. Like, come on, we're going to do this. But here's where we're going to go, okay? We're going to get a bit excited. And I need you to get a bit excited. So please would you stand with me for a moment? What do you do when you're really excited about something? Now, everyone's going to look differently. I understand that. Some of you, you may stay the same way. That's okay. And when I say get excited, I mean like, if you're a sports fan, when your sports team's winning. I mean, when you've got that new job that you've been looking for a long time, what's your reaction to that? What does it look like when God's really done something in you and you go, oh, this is amazing. What is it that you do? Like, so I process things inside. So when my sports team wins, I don't like run around the street with my shirt over my head going, yeah! Like, Emily will say, oh, how did they do? I go, oh, they did all right. Like, that's my excitement. That's poor, isn't it? That's poor. But there is something that changes in me because my demeanor changes. And so I wonder this morning, what is it that you do when you're excited? And I'm going to ask you to be bold about this. I'm going to ask you to get excited about what Jesus has done for you. Because he's changed our worlds. And if he hasn't changed your world, then I implore you, like, go and find him, seek after him, and ask him to change your world a bit more. Ask him to do something in you that just shifts your stature, shifts your your focus, that makes you change. You can't hold it back anymore. You can't stay glum anymore. You can't keep your hands in your pockets anymore and be like, yeah, good one. Because it's not enough for what he's done for us. So for a moment, just get a bit excited. Come on. Like, act like he saved you. Come on. Act like he's changed your world. Act like he's, like, shifted in you the things that you just despise about yourself because he's bigger. That when you united with him, he did something in you. Come on, church. Let's get a bit excited about what Jesus has done for us, okay? Because as we do this together, as we get a bit excited together, as we begin to let our feelings outside of us become very un-British about this, things shift. And what I think Paul is telling us, that as we come together, as we as one rise up, as we as one begin to shout his praise, as we as one begin to tap our foot a bit more, maybe your head begins to nod. If you're a bit of a dancer, then go ahead. Move your chair out the way. Push the person next to you and tell them to get a boogie on. Because church, when we stand united and when we unite with Christ, we can make a difference. Yeah. And when we begin to praise together and when we begin to make a bit of a shout, then people hear us and things begin to move and the church begins to rise again. And those numbers that say the church is growing will continue to rise and rise and rise. Not for our glory, which is what it says. It's not about you. It's not for your glory. It's not for your name to be made bigger. It's about him. So humbly come before him and praise him.